This is what you'll get when you mess with us.
Welcome back to hour number three of the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests are James Rink and Lorian Fenton. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties there, ladies and gentlemen, but as you can see, we are back and in living colour. Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, James, we haven't even touched upon what happened at the last Super Soldier Summit. And I don't want people to get the wrong idea, but I do want to let them know that no matter what we do in the Super Soldier world, mind control world, whatever you want to call it, the forces that be are always trying to thwart us at every turn. And believe me, folks, I'll be the first to tell you, I would never have thought this was happening, and all the way up until I got to Las Vegas for the summit, I didn't believe I was being targeted. That's how naive and foolish I want to forget all of that, you know, this stuff can get, how nefarious it can all be. And James, I'm going to go ahead and tell them the story leading up to getting to, we're actually in Henderson, I'm going to tell them the story about, well, it first started out about 4 months before the summit actually happened. I put up a website. I've been a web designer for about 20 years now, and I kept getting attacked. And I was getting attacked from places like, oh my God, China, Canada. I couldn't figure out who kept hacking into the site, and it was just terrible. I kept switching hosting services. I was doing all kinds of things. I was rebuilding the site about every 2 or 3 days. Nobody could buy a ticket, which was even more wild, and it was very difficult. People were calling me on the phone, and I'd have to take care of their PayPal, you know, do it myself. I mean, it was just, it was wild, folks. It was the hardest event I've ever put on, and I've been doing events for over 30 years in various ways and for different companies and big corporations and nonprofits and my art organization, and I've been doing this a long time. I never had that kind of problem. Okay, so we're moving down the road. It's now getting closer to the event. I get a show for us, an electronic harassment show on Coast to Coast AM. It's on the Wednesday night before the summit's going to happen on Friday. And I'm actually driving to Henderson from San Francisco, listening to the Coast to Coast show that I helped the producers put together. I had a whole bunch of people on there. Miles Johnson was included, and Derek Robinson from Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, and quite a few experiencers that have voice-to-skull communication going on and consider targeted individuals. And so they're all on the show. It's a wonderful show. Everything's going great. I finally had the website working, and I'm thinking to myself, well, geez, maybe I'll sell a few more tickets, because now I'm getting worried. You know, I'm barely making enough off of this to even pay for the hotel, let alone get everybody there and, you know, get them a hotel room and feed them and take care of them for the weekend. And so I get down to Button Willow, California, and here's where it gets interesting. And this is where I finally figured out they were harassing me. It takes me this long after, you know, months to finally admit to myself that they are harassing me. I get to Button Willow. There's 2 Motel 6s, and of course I don't have much money, so the only place I can say is a Motel 6. I choose the furthest away from the freeway Motel 6, thinking that's going to help me get some sleep. It's now 4 o'clock in the morning, and I bring in my computer, I set up, and I'm going to the website to make sure everything's okay, and of course the website is completely offline. There is no, I can't even find the website. I go to the hosting service, and it's not even there. I'm calling them, it's the middle of the night, and now here it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm totally frustrated. My website has been hacked beyond hacked. It's now disappeared. And I'm just freaking out. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to sleep for 2 hours. I didn't even get into my pajamas. I only brought in my, you know, my toothbrush case and all that. I didn't even bring my clothes in because I knew I'd be hitting the road at 9 o'clock in the morning and wouldn't have time to even deal with all that. So I lay down on the sheets with my clothes on. I close my eyes for an hour and a half, and then I get up at about 7:30. I decide I'm going to take a quick shower and get back on it and try to figure out what's going on with my computer and the website. Okay, so I jump in the shower, folks, and I get in there, and you wouldn't even believe this. All the water stops. Everything stops. the lights go out, I hear a spike in the electricity, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope my laptop is okay. That's the only thing I can think of at that point. And I realize that all the electricity's out in my room. And I've got a towel around me. I'm soaking wet. I got soap all over me. I look out of the door, and it turns out the whole place is down. There's no electricity in the whole building. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? So, you know, I rub the soap off of me. I throw my clothes back on, brush my teeth, comb my hair, grab my laptop, and I'm trying to get it to work. It's nothing. Nothing's happening. The battery's been fizzled. I don't know what's going on. And I finally say, oh, my God, I just got to get out of here, you know. And I thought to myself in that moment, my God, I wonder if this is all to get at me. You know, and finally I'm getting paranoid. I'm finally starting to get paranoid. I thought, oh, this is so weird. So I go up to the main office, and I'm trying to talk to the owner or manager of this Motel 6. And he will not talk to me when he's around his two employees. I can't figure out why he won't talk to me. I kept saying, what's the power? Why is the power out? And the girls kept looking at me funny, and then he walks me over to the side of the desk, away from everybody, and he says, look, you were told last night that the power was going to go out at 7 o'clock this morning. And I said, I was never told that. I didn't know anything about that. And he said, we told everybody. And I said, well, you didn't tell me. And he said, look, lady, I'm telling you, we told you last night that the power was going to be out. So here I am. I'm sitting in the lobby of this Motel 6. The girls are looking at me funny. And this guy's telling me that they were going to turn out the electricity. And I know darn well they never told me this. And he says, look, lady, the electricity's out in the whole town. So just get out of here. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird. And I get in my car and I start leaving town, and I notice that the Starbucks has light coming out of it. And I'm seeing people in there, and I thought, huh, that's weird. They don't look close to me. So I go in the Starbucks, and the girl says, oh, no, we have electricity. The whole town's lit up. There's no problem. And I'm thinking to myself, why just the hotel I was in? It's so weird. Okay, so then I thought, oh, cool, I'll just fix my website. So I get in there and I start to fix the website. And folks, oh my God, it was an 8-hour fix. I did not get into Henderson until about 12 hours later than I was supposed to. Long story short, I had two hacker friends of mine get in there, and they traced all the hacks, and it turns out I was being hacked from Israel. And every time they go in and try to fix something, there would be somebody behind them messing it back up again. So I got two people on it so that one would fix, one would hack and try to destroy it, and the other one would go back behind him and clean that up. And we finally got the website working, but, you know, it was too late. So that was pretty wild. So, James, why don't you tell them what happened after problems that?
With the live stream at the actual...
Oh, yeah. Then it just got really ugly.
Because you were having trouble because the website was inaccessible. You were having trouble selling tickets, so you were suffering, you know, on the financial arm to begin with, and then but you were hoping to break even with this live stream event going on,
exactly.
And you had some kind of complications because I think couldn't support it, and then what happened?
Well, this is another intriguing situation. I bring in a TV crew from L.A., and they called on Wednesday to the hotel. And all this time, folks, I'm telling the hotel girls that I have the contract with. Now, it doesn't state in the contract because they don't have a contract for this type of thing because it's not, you know, it's a normal thing people do, but it's just not written up in the contract. They have – you can purchase internet bandwidth, and that was in the contract, but there was nothing about they had to have it there or anything like that. So I'm talking to them for months saying, I am going to live stream this event. Now, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, that means I'm going to send a signal out of the building, not necessarily in, but we will have some people Skyping in. So I need enough bandwidth to go out and get people in And I don't know how many MIPS that is for you guys, but we need to talk to the IT department and figure this all out ahead of time. And they said, fine. So I had the TV crew call the IT department that Wednesday and say, look, this is what we need. We need at least 4 MIPS up and at least 2 MIPS down, I think it was. And we've got to have that minimum to be able to do what we're going to do. And the guy at the IT department, Paul, says, oh, yeah, we have all that. We can get you 8 MIPS. We can get you 10. We can get you whatever you want. You just let me know and tell your person, whoever's got the contract, to pay the $150 for the extra bandwidth. And I said, okay, fine. Pay the $150 for the extra bandwidth. Everything's set. We get in there Friday night. The TV crew sets up. Everything's going okay. And then they get everything ready to go, and they couldn't connect. And it wouldn't go out. We couldn't get anything in. We couldn't get anything out.
Well, what did the hotel staff say?
Well, then it gets more complicated. Then we're trying to figure out what's going on. So we decide not to live stream on Friday night, which was fine. We were to start on Saturday morning. And they decide the hotel can't figure out what's going on. And they decide to bring in Cox, is the company they contract with for their hardwire and bandwidth. So Cox shows up. They're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, their technicians. They show up at 10 when I'm supposed to be starting the conference. So we're now I have to hold the conference starting for another hour, which was just bad in unto itself. And they get in there and they start laughing at the TV guy and all my crew. And they said, look, you guys could never get that bandwidth. This hotel isn't wired for that bandwidth. This is probably the only hotel in the whole Las Vegas area that never upgraded to that type of bandwidth. He goes, yes, they can get things in at a very low bandwidth, but that's all they can do. They'll never be able to live stream unless they buy a $100,000 package and rewire the whole dang building. And so my crew's just freaking out because they're depending on getting paid from this money, and I'm depending on getting money so that we can, you know, break even at least. And it was just a horrific, horrific event. And
well, how come the people in the IT department, why they lie to you like that? Were they just incompetent? Were they lying?
Now, this is where, you know, you can either be paranoid, Vinny and James, or you can sit there and say people just didn't know what they were doing. After the pile of dominoes were building up about everything going wrong against me, I am starting to believe that somewhere along the line, somebody's powers that be were behind all this. I really do. And that is pretty paranoid, but I got to say, it was just like one thing after another. And that doesn't even touch upon the 2 or 3 people that were sent there to sabotage the event. We had a couple of stalkers. We had people that would come in and yell at the speakers. I mean, there were just some really odd that people that came under the guise of being there to help us and make sure the event went well, and it turned out they were there to sabotage the event. So that was very odd to me as well, because I've never had that happen in all the years I've been putting on UFO events. I mean, I get some people that are a little wacky coming to the UFO events that probably should be wearing tinfoil hats and are a little different and odd, but they never get up there and try to sabotage the whole event from happening. And so, anyhow, I just thought I'd share that with everybody.
So then you had a bunch of angry customers who already bought tickets for the live stream, and you couldn't do anything about that.
Yeah, that wasn't fun or pretty. We have solved all that. It took me about 4 months to be able to deal with all that, but it's all been taken care of. And you know what? I got to tell you, it may have had a lot to do with Cynthia Brewer. Cynthia Brewer is a very interesting woman. She is one of the first person that I've ever met to come out and say that her body was used to develop and grow a chimera, which is a combination of many different types of animals, and I believe human, that was grown in her thigh. And that they did some horrible, horrible experiments upon her. And she was really very controversial to bring to this event, but I thought her story needed to be told. Now, whether it's true or not is another whole issue, and I'm not going there about whether it's true or not. But I can tell you this, if her story is what she says it is, and I have a tendency to believe her after looking at all the material she has on it, that poor woman has been through an absolute horrendous, horrendous thing has been perpetrated upon her. And I wish more people would take up the mantle to help her in her life. She's doing pretty good now. Things are very well for her, but still she had to, you know, through two psychiatric hospitalizations, they've mangled her body. She has been amputated. Part of her buttocks and thigh were amputated, and some really horrific things have happened to her. And I'm just surprised that she isn't one of those people that's just, you know, permanently for the rest of their lives stuck in a nut house somewhere because of what they've done to her. She's a strong lady. She's very smart, and she's got her act together. So, you know, I just hope everybody looks into her story. It's Cindy Brewer. She's up on Project Camelot from the past. You can find out more information about her. But, man, I'm telling you, what an interesting, interesting presentation she gave to our audience. Well, it was fabulous.
I've interviewed her, too.
Oh, you interviewed her as well? Yeah, she's very intriguing.
James?
Yeah, I was about to say, some people's rooms were broken into. Deadbolt locks were
Are we going there, James? Are we going to go into all this? I guess we need to.
I mean,
let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. Now, I want to preface this again with, this only happened to some of the super soldiers and a few of the MyLab speakers. So it didn't happen to any of the attendees. It didn't happen to anybody there that was trying to get seek help. It didn't happen to any of the targeted individuals that we know of. It didn't happen to any of the Voice of Skull communication, mind control people. It just happened to a very small group that seems to be the core group of the first Super Soldier Summit. And I'm going to say it, and that's all I'm going to say at this point about who was involved, because I really don't know who was all involved. And to be honest with you, I don't even know it really happened. But according to Melinda Leslie, who has very much, probably very much, that's not very good English, she has the best recall memory of any of the MyLabs people that I've interviewed in the last, you know, years about her abduction experiences from the government with the alien presence there with her. She remembers a lot. She's one of the few that has recall that is just phenomenal. So she woke up Sunday morning at the conference and said that she had been taken, and so had a small group of about 10 of us that were taken and taken down to the area where the trucks deliver items to the hotel, and that at that truck bay there were two Ryder trucks, and in the back of the two Ryder trucks were these three trip chairs, as you call them, James, where they do analysis of the people in the programs. And anyhow, three of them were in each truck, and there were two Ryder trucks with these items in them. We were taken by military. We were all drugged with a fast-acting type of scopolamine that only lasts for maybe 2 hours tops. And apparently, we were all taken down there, and we, you know, three at a time into each truck until they were done with us. It only took about an hour, and they take us back up to our rooms, put us back to bed, and we didn't know anything had happened. Now, this is what Melinda says, and I didn't believe any of this, James, at all for months and months. I mean, now it was in May, supposedly happened. Everybody was talking about it, and apparently one of the guys that was taking us out of our rooms, that was part of the military that was perpetuating this upon us, or perpetrating this upon us, broke the door locks. Is that right, Jim? Because I never saw him, James. I didn't see what had happened with these rooms, but apparently,
yeah, they're like the deadbolt lock in the hotel room.
Yeah,
they were like
apparently
busted open.
Yeah, they were broken in half, I think, because the guys started to go out of the rooms with us and forgot to undo them and pulled the door so hard it broke them in half or off their – or pulled their hinges out. That's what happened. Pulled the hinges out of the door, supposedly. Okay, now this is May. I'm hearing about all this on Sunday morning. I'm getting all these people come up to me, Jay, we were abducted last night and this all happened. I'm like, you guys are all crazy, man. There's no way we got abducted. You guys nuts. I mean, that's basically what I told everybody. Because, you know, again, I'm very grounded. I don't believe a lot of this stuff happens. And I think, you know, that 90% of it is kind of out there, and that 10% of it may be true. And if even 1% of it's true, then we got a problem, and I need to, you know, help these guys deal with it. But in that moment, I'm like, nah, you guys are all crazy. So I go about my life, and things go on. It's now September. Melinda Leslie calls me on the phone one day, and she goes, Lori, and I heard that you know, don't believe this. And I said, well, no, I don't, but you tell me your story, what happened. So apparently, she had taken notes the next morning on Sunday, when, like she does a lot of times when she has an abduction experience, she'll make notes immediately. And so she made a whole page, you know, 2 or 3 pages of notes, and then kind of forgot about it for a while. And was, you know, she did talk to people on Sunday, and they were corroborating her story, but she didn't want to get her thought process about the whole thing polluted, so she asked people not to talk to her about it. And that was good. I thought that was very good. As a researcher, she's one of the best out there when it comes to that. She doesn't allow other people's experience to pollute hers until she actually gets the story out and interviews everybody that was involved in the scenario. So she calls me in September, and I start listening to this, and lo and behold, folks, I just couldn't even believe this was coming out of my mouth. She's talking about what the guys looked like, that and what kind of clothes they were wearing as they were taking us out of the room. And she says to me, yeah, the guy was wearing camo, desert camo pants. And then I said to her, and before she could even finish her sentence, I said, and a tan t-shirt, I saw dog tags, and he was wearing a hat that was the camo hat, just like the pants, but it's round, and it's got a flat top and a short bill. And she just went, oh my God, you're reading exactly what I wrote here. You know, to a T, exactly what I wrote. She goes, you must have seen it. You must remember this. Because why would you be telling me this, Lorraine, if it wasn't in your head already? And I said, I don't know. But in that moment, folks, I went, oh my God, maybe this really did happen. I mean, or maybe they just put a big old mind chunk into all of us saying, this is a screen memory. We want you all to think it happened. So you have some more, you know, food for the fodder for the people who think you're all crazy. So who knows? And maybe I accessed it at that point. I don't know. But it's very intriguing, isn't it, James? Especially the part about the doors all being pulled, the two rooms that the hinges were pulled out of. I thought that was intriguing, too.
I remember waking up that morning feeling so tired, almost like I didn't get any sleep at all.
Yeah, well, I thought I didn't either, because I woke up after only having 3 hours sleep. So I thought that. And I thought, this is weird. Even with only 3 hours sleep, I feel a little better than this. That was when my first thoughts getting out of bed. So, I don't know. You know, Vinny, we could all be just mind controlled to the point where where they're just implanting all kinds of thoughts.
Well, obviously they're not that good at mind control, because I got a saying, how do you know you're under mind control? If you never question whether or not you're under mind control.
Ah, there you go. You know, and that is 99% of the population of the United States who sit in front of the boob tube all day long. They are so controlled. I can't even believe it. It blows my mind. You know,
just imagine, like, meanwhile, some television set in Texas, and you, hey, Jed, yeah, do you reckon we're under mind control?
Oh, my God, that's hysterical. Well, that's a Far Side cartoon if I ever saw one.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, but seriously, folks, you know, I don't know what's going on. And there are days I just go, oh, this is all just nonsense, and I don't want anything to do with it again. And then some poor guy will give me a call and he'll say, look, I heard you were the lady to call because this blah, blah, blah has happened to me. And you know what? It's like, it's almost like hearing the same story out of everybody's mouth. It's like when you're talking about your baskets. It's like it goes from probability to, wow, I've heard that story six times and it's the same thing. How come they're all saying this to me?
Yeah, well, you know? Statistically, it takes seven different people specifically to say the same thing to you before you'll accept a radically different idea that you previously are unfounded for.
Ah, seven. Okay, I'm very close. I just need one more.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I've got about five or six people that have called me and said blah, 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 and I'm not going to tell anybody about what they tell me because this is one of the ways that I can ferret out who's actually telling me an experience or a mind control situation that they've been involved in and the people that are actually just Looney Tunes and are calling me for attention. You know, because they're very different. If you've been in this for a long time, you finally realize that the mind-controlled people talk in a completely different way than the people that are Looney Tunes. And one of the things the mind-controlled and the super soldiers and the, you know, the satanic ritual abuse people and whatever else that have called me, the one thing they all have in common, and I will tell this to everybody, is that they do not want it to be happening to them. They hate every minute of it being perpetrated on them. All they want, and James will attest to this, is they just want to be left alone, and they want a house and a place to grow their own food and sit back and spend the rest of their lives in peace. They just want to be left alone. Most of them are penniless and homeless at the stage that they put you to the point where you're calling me. 90% of them live with their parents or a family relative or, you know, just somebody that is taking care of them just to give them a roof over their head. They are never wealthy. They never have any, you know, their teeth are usually rotting out of their heads and they're in bad shape. And I feel so sorry for them because now, this is where they put you.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is just the trauma. The emotional trauma prevents a lot of us from at least holding some kind of full-time gainful employment.
James, do you know how hard it is for anybody in the situation? You know. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying that to you. It is so hard for those type of people who understand that the evil cabal that run all these CEO corporation, you know, CEO-driven, Illuminati-driven corporations that in the long run are all managed by the 13, the Council of 13, which includes Bush and Cheney and I can't remember all the names of them right now, but the point I'm trying to make is, once your eyes are open and you know this is happening to you, the last thing you could ever do is go work for these people. It's just like, oh my God. That's like saying, okay, I'll go out and I'll slaughter a few more pigs because that's what they told me to do, you know. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. Once your eyes are open, it's so hard to live in this reality. I can't even describe.
Where do you see this movement going in the future? I mean, do you see these super soldier summits continuing on for many, many years?
I don't know. I don't know, James.
Is there a ready supply of more super soldiers that are being chewed up and spit out for you to take care of?
No. And that's what's interesting is the ones that are older, that very few of them come to me, the older ones, because they are so programmed, a lot of them, that they're just so afraid. They think they can't get in a car and get to Las Vegas because they'll be killed. You know, and the reality is, if they made their mind up and just said to the powers that be and said, this is what I'm doing and your fear does not bother me, go ahead and kill me, they'd be there in a heartbeat. And that's one of the things I try to teach all of them is, like, if you buy into their fear, if you buy into their paranoia, if you buy into anything that they're trying to do to you that keeps you away from the summit or seeing a therapist that can regress you or seeking a job that maybe you could do that you would love or going to school and bettering yourself or any of those things that they tell you cannot do, you'd be okay. But it's a lot of work. Anyhow, my point to all this is a lot of the older ones will not come to the summit because they're afraid, okay? And the younger ones, I'm starting to realize, are just so programmed On a mass scale of less super soldierdom. I think the whole thing where they're training super soldiers to go fight our battles in maybe the secret space program or even the battles maybe here on Earth in this 3D reality, there aren't as many battles to be fought. And I think that they're thinking of a more mass programming. If you look at Hollywood and what they're churning out in Hollywood with all these starlets that came from Disney or even the singers like Beyonce and Lady Gaga and those type of people, I really think that they're the next wave of the super soldier in a whole new way, because that's how they're getting to the mass populace, is through the entertainer and the you know, the people who have 2 years of fame and have done something in that category. And they can get to them through TV, they can get to them through movies, they can get to people on a much more mass mind control level with that type of person, whereas the super soldiers, not sure. I just don't see it being as prolific as it once was. I think in the late 80s, 90s, and early aughts, that was more of the focus, but now I think it's on more mass mind control at a much subliminal level. Anyhow, that's just my take on it. I don't know.
It's almost like they like playing with your head. They get some kind of sick fascination, torture out of it, you know.
Well, I kind of see, Vinny, where it's heading is that social and political issues on a mass scale with everybody involved in it, they have two choices. They dumb you down and mind control you so you don't pay any attention to it, or you break free and you become people who listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show and go out there and protest and head for the Bilderbergers groups when they're there, or the World Trade Organization meetings when they're there, or what have you. And that they're winning. They're getting a bigger foothold of mind-controlling people so they don't ever wake up to the realities of our social systems.
I'd really love to go to a Bilderberg conference. I'd drag along like a massive barbecue set or something like that and make everybody their own Bilderberger, you know? Like you can build it with the Monterey Jack cheese and the caramelized onions and the salad and the relish and the aioli and all that kind of stuff, you know? It'd be fantastic.
It would be fantastic. I want
pineapple and bacon and avocado in that motherfucker.
Hate to say it, though. I'd have to bring chicken or a tofu burger.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure. Absolutely. You know, we can crumb nugget that stuff. And maybe if we're lucky, we can capture one of the Bilderbergers and eat them too.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. A little cannibalism goes a long way to saving this planet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but of course, you've got to use the right herbs and spices, you know, with the sage and rosemary. I'm sure Rockefeller rib roast would be freaking fantastic.
Well, I don't know. It'd be pretty tough, in my opinion. That guy's ancient, and he's probably all reptilian anyhow. So.
It might taste like evil. Like, I wonder what evil actually tastes like.
Well, iguana tastes like chicken. There you go.
Iguana tastes like chicken, so the evil reptilian overlords of this planet all taste like chicken. Oh, God, that's funny.
Well, I mean, they're harvesting a bunch of humans through their FEMA camps. They have these massive underground FEMA camps where they keep humans in cryogenics before sending them off for food consumption.
You know, James, I really don't want to believe that, but I've had some very interesting things happen to me in the last couple months. Some people that I've been dealing with for my MUFON groups, there were two or three of them that I'm trying to get to speak at my UFO conference, and I'm not sure they're going to do it because they are very afraid of what they know. They swear to me that they were taken underground to these bases where they are actually killing people and eating them. And and they're some type of – they're not a gray and they're not a reptilian. They almost look like a cross between the two. And they're not – and they live underground on this planet. And this is just – you know, this is the first time I've ever heard of this. I was
those
like,
are like the, Those are must be like the J-Rods that Dan Burish claimed that he was in contact with, because they look like a – they're called grails. They're like a hybrid of gray and reptilian. And they're like one of the nastiest ones on this planet. They don't even have – they don't have a soul consciousness.
Oh, my God. Well, I thought Dan Burish was dealing with the little gray and he pushed him through the portal back to his dimension.
Well, those J-Rods were messing with his head. They were claiming they were from the future, but they weren't. They were just – they were from here, this timeline, but they're just trying to – they're manipulating him. Of course, I don't know if you realize.
Does Dan know this?
I don't know. I never talked to him about it.
Okay. You know, he's one of the people – Vinny, have you ever had Dan Burish on your show?
No.
Okay. Because he's a very controversial figure in the whole UFO, community. And very interesting guy, though. I don't know much about him. And that's interesting that you said that those J-Rods are not friendly, James. Because that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I was told anyway.
Oh, okay. So,
well, it's just something we hear. Like, all it is speculation and opinion and half-glimpsed memories, and that's why it's so difficult to know what's even going on in this whole spectrum and theater. Now, as you guys were talking, I had a terrible thought. What if, just like every other weaponization program, they were sitting there just trying to weaponize mind control techniques for the usage of, you know, actually making mind control weapons? You know, being able to just, I don't know, make somebody suddenly turn into a mind control victim or something like that. Freak them with harp or something. They're trying to break down the human mind, find out what makes it tick so that they can turn the clock's wheels themselves.
Well, I actually agree with you on that, Vinny, and I think that's part of it. And I think the other part to the equation is transhumanism. One of the things that the MKUltra program, I believe, was brought out and started with was because of the 48 or 52 Eisenhower meeting with the aliens, supposedly, or maybe it was just the Roswell crash itself, if there were actually aliens there. But at some point in the 40s or 50s, an alien connected with a human being in our 3D reality and connected with them telepathically. And I think our government realized at that point that how do you deal with an entity that doesn't move its mouth or have to think its thoughts to say them verbally to communicate?
And you do porn with them?
God, that's funny. Anyhow, so I think they realized they were in big trouble, and the only way they were ever going to be able to deal with these guys is if they could be telepathic too. And I think that's how the MKUltra program actually started, was to start developing mind control techniques where we were actually all starting to talk to each other telepathically. Thing went horribly wrong. I think that they went off in different tangents and different directions. They were giving people drugs. They were, doping people's water. They were spraying people. They were giving people diseases. I mean, they did everything they could think of to figure out ways for us to be able to be more telepathic. And I think it just all went awry. Then they probably realized, well, we can do this to people and we can make them do what we tell them to do just by sending a frequency at them. You know, in the 90s or late 80s and early 90s, they figured out that every body has a frequency it resonates at. And if they can just beam a frequency at your head, you could be hearing voices talking to you. They could tell you to do things. Certain people would obey because they have a weak constitution in their mind not to believe that it's not Christ talking to them or whatever. And, they realized they had a weapon, and that's exactly what you were saying. And I think that it went from one thing to help communicate with aliens to a whole different program that they thought, well, this is how we're going to control the population. And
so you come up with a great invention, and it's got like amazing effects. Let's say it's the heel fish or something like that. You know, you build it for a good reason, and the fish get better, and it's all good. But there's something about the tones or the frequencies or whatever the device that you're using, which somebody looks at and goes, how can I turn this into a weapon?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, they were using that type of weapon device back in the Gulf War. At least the Americans were. I remember the whole thing about beaming the weapon at them that made them nauseous and lose their bowel control. And they still have that weapon. I can't remember the name of it.
It's probably like involved EMF.
I thought there was like some kind of a microwave microwave weapon mounted on a tank that they could like point at entire enemy squads and they'd just microwave them and they'd just explode from the inside.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard about that. Oh, my God. Just the thought of that makes my head swim. I can't even imagine doing that to people.
Oh, yeah. Just imagine actually feeling all your organs tearing themselves apart for a second or two before you explode in a cloud of dust and vaporized flesh.
Oh, God. Well, I do know that they use the one I talked about for sure because it's been written about in a lot of journals and military documents. And a lot of our guys came back and said, oh, yeah, it was just trippy that these guys, point these weapons, you know, these discs at them, and they'd shoot this beam out and they'd triangulate it. Of course, they'd have one tank over here, one over here, and, you know, so they triangulate this area. And these guys would just kneel to the ground, holding their stomach, drop their weapons, put their arms up, and they just laid there until they got there. They didn't want they didn't want to fight with them at all because that's how painful or how, you know, horrific the stomach ache and the cramping was.
Yeah, yeah. And you know? I believe the microwave tank got discontinued and then KFC used it to make popcorn chicken.
Oh, dear. You know, Vinny, you're a wit. You just cracked me up. I love being on your show. Thank you so much for having me here today. And James, too.
Well, so, they cracked me up, too.
Oh, God. Anyhow, so we're talking about
there's been several times where I've just got, like, my mic muted and I'm just in the background, you know, so...
Well, I'm trying to make light of a very horrible situation that I truly believe is happening, and I hope people are taking what I have to say and what James is saying, you know, serious to a point. I mean, you got to believe that something's going on. Like I said, I have no idea how much, and I have no idea whether I'm just being paranoid now in my old age about what they've done to me and my summits and what have you, but, you know, there's something going on, Vinny. I can't come on here and say to everybody definitively, yes, they're out to get me and this is why it's happening and blah, blah, blah. But I can tell you this, like I said, I put on a lot of other events. I never have the problems I have putting on this conference. So far, though, I must say, I'm putting on the third one. The third one's going to happen May 30th, 31st, and June 1st in Las Vegas. So if you guys got discount tickets from there in Down Under Land and Kiwi Land, get on up here because it's going to be a very interesting conference this year. I've got Dr. John Hall, who's one of he was the hypnotherapist on the Jesse Ventura Mind Control show. Did you ever see that, Vinny?
I don't think I saw that episode, no.
Oh, it was a great episode. If you get a chance, do watch it because the people that were in that episode have been presenting at my conferences and there are some really good people and they did the episode very scientifically. They didn't make them look like kooks like a lot of the shows do and they really gave them a chance to voice what was going on in their lives as far as this mind control and voice-to-skull communication and targeted individuals and stuff that's happening to people. And Jesse did a great job. He kept a straight face, thank God for that, and, you know, was very intrigued about what was being done to these people, and I'm sure he felt, you know, a lot of sympathy for them. He sure acted like it on the show. But anyhow, Dr. John Hall was the therapist at the very beginning of the show, a hypnotherapist that told this guy, he hypnotized him. He kept telling people, yeah, it's so easy to make people do what you want them to do. You guys have no idea how easy our government has it. It's that easy. Here's what he did. He told this guy, you've got a limp. You're going to limp all the time. And so he put him under, told him he had a limp, took him out of it. The guy's walking around the office with a distinct limp. And the interviewer says to him, hey, what's wrong with your leg? And he looks down and says, nothing's wrong with my leg. And continues walking with a limp. And that's how controlled this guy's mind was to the fact that, no, there was no limp. And he was actually walking with the limp. So, and he didn't even know he was doing it. So that's how controlled they were. And then they took him out of it, and everything's back to normal. And they asked him, do you remember having the limp? He goes, I never had a limp. So if they can do that on TV, and it's real, and Dr. John Hall swears it was a real thing he did, and he does this type of thing all the time with people, you know, if they want a demonstration, you know, if he can do that, he says, what do you think our government can do? You know,
that's they could do anything. They could turn straight men gay. They could turn gays into Mexicans. Oh, my goodness.
That's right. They could turn you into a reptilian.
I'd like to get turned into a Mexican, actually. That would be pretty cool.
Is it?
Yeah, you get your lowrider car and the whole bit with that, see?
Hey, do you know why lowriders have those little tiny steering wheels, man? It's because they're the only kind you can drive with handcuffs on.
Oh, God, I haven't heard that one before. That's great. Oh, dear. Now I'm going to be told that I'm racist, but I'm not really, folks. If he had said Italians, I would have laughed just the same.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, this is the Cheech Marin Appreciation Society, you know.
Exactly. Those two are wonderful together. I grew up on that. So anyhow, I want people to know that we're not really a bunch of crazies running around here. You know, but we do have a good sense of humor, right, James?
Yeah. So come on out to the Super Soldier Summit and find out for yourself.
Yeah.
You like drama.
Yeah, well, I don't think that the attendees never did have the drama. It always seems to be me and you guys, you know, me and the kids.
Have you noticed that the people who have gone crazy are the ones who have really lost their sense of humor about things, eh? And either that or there's the other spectrum, the ones who just don't have a sense of humor, but they're still laughing at something all the time. And it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, those are the ones to be afraid of. And I got to tell you, a sense of humor has kept me happy, you know? I mean, if you don't have, like, just like you said, if you don't have a sense of humor with all this stuff going on around you, you'll never make it. You will end up in a loony bin. You will have issues. Or you will end up like the guy at the Naval Yard, he'll shooting people up. I mean, my God, that's so sad. You know, I think about that poor guy, and he reached out for help, and, you know, he tried, but it overwhelmed him. You know, he did get to the point where he actually did what they were telling him to do in his head. And I just, you know, it's like, I can't even imagine. And what bothers me the most about this, Vinny, is that people look at him and they think he's just crazy. And all the stories about him writing ELM or EMF on the butt of his gun and all that, people just laugh at this guy. They have no idea what kind of pain and anguish he was in because of our government doing that to him. And, you know, I mean, how do we get people to hear the truth, you know?
Well, I think that people basically have to experience something almost traumatic as the truth. Or something really, really painful at least, before they'll be opened up to the possibility that this kind of stuff really does go on until they realize the world isn't all sunflowers and rainbows.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the days I thought it was sunflowers and rainbows. I really liked it. There's nothing like being stupid or naive. There are many a days I wake up and I go, God, I wish I was still naive and didn't know the truth about all the horrible things going on in the world. But, you know, once your eyes are open, you can never close them again. And so if you're going to be out there, you might as well join the fray and help us all, you know, change the world. Right, Vinny?
Kind of like lucid dreaming. Like a friend of mine explained to me when he first started lucid dreaming, it was so real, it was so vivid, but he couldn't control anything. And then later on, he learned to realize that it's a dream and you can change things if you want.
Aha. That's absolutely true. Hey, Vinny, do you think you're changing the world with your show and what you do?
Don't know for sure. I know I'm changing a lot of individuals' lives, whether or not that corresponds to the world. I don't know yet. I mean, how do you quantify changing the world? I mean, will the world have something different in place in the future because of what I have done and what I am doing? I think so, but it hasn't got it just all going as yet. But I'm part of something that is changing the world, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think you're making a big dent. I think you're making a bigger dent than you think, because your show is heard globally, and I think people do get what you're trying to do, and you do it with the comedy, and you also do it with your sincere, you know, Vinnie Eastwood style behind it, and I think you're doing an amazing job, and I just want to thank you so much for doing it, you know?
Well, thank you. For my narcissism, yeah, this is very good stroking. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing I'm finding out being a radio show talk host, a radio talk show host myself, is that I've got 60 people on Revolution Radio where I'm at on Monday nights. I probably should plug that once, huh? Revolution Radio at Freedom Slips, like freedomslippingaway.com, Monday evenings, Pacific, USA, 5 p.m. Catch me if you can. And there are 60 people on our network. And, you know, it's really odd. Every network I go to, whether it's GCN or, you know, I can name a million networks. And you know this too. Most of them are driven by ego. It really isn't about the mission or about changing things or doing things. It's mostly about their ratings. I've never seen anything like it in my life. You know, it's the 15 minutes of fame thing I'm finally starting to realize. You know, it's not really getting the truth out there.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And a lot of network owners are like that too. And it's part of the reason why I've decided to remain independent for the time being and just sort of like gauge where I want my show to go and carve my own future out, because I'm done working for people. I'll only ever work with people. And, you know, I guess I just really want to help people, because there's so many that have experienced so much pain and suffering and trauma, and nobody in the media will really give them the time of day, let alone a couple of hours. So, you know, I'm just, I guess the way that I operate in the world is the way everybody should, which is take personal responsibility for one issue inside which you can make a difference. And if everybody's doing that, then things are changing all the time for the better.
Exactly. And I think the whole internet craze of talk radio is really messing with the evil cabal. Because, you know, it started out with terrestrial radio with the people like Rush Limbaugh, and then we've gotten, you know, Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, and Alex Jones has changed a lot. And I got to give him super kudos. I'm not sure he's playing on the same team as the rest of us right now, but hey, he did wake me up years ago and to the political and social problems that we have on this planet. And thank God for that, because if I hadn't had that little bit of background when this happened to me a few years ago, I would not have been able to distinguish that, yeah, this is related to that whole thing that they're doing with the government, and that we've got to be aware of the evil that's, it, you know, penetrating the U.S. I don't know about your country, but over here, things are just corrupt as heck. And what bothers me the most, Vinny, not about Alex or any of the guys out there, because, you know, they wake up the people that need to be woken up at the time they wake up. I mean, that they're still there for a purpose, and I got to give them credit for that. But what really bothers me the most is that the people in the United States have not figured out that there are only a couple of thousand people in the federal government at Washington, D.C., and that there are a billion, what is it, 6 billion people in America? I can't even remember. Maybe it's only millions, but there are so many of us here that we could surround the buildings, lock them in there, not feed them for 2 months, and they'd all be dead, and we wouldn't have to worry about them anymore. And that's the least I'd want to do to them. If I had my way, I'd have guillotines out there, take care of all of them, get rid of them all, and start all over from scratch. I mean, it's just amazing to me that people don't understand there's a small handful of people at the federal level telling us all what to do, and we're doing it. You know, we comply with the IRS. I mean, why? Just get rid of the IRS and get rid of the people heading it, and then you don't have it there anymore. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me how duped the American public is. And it just upsets me daily, but I have other fish to fry, so I've got to deal with that first. I can't go out and be a political radical person right now because I got to deal with my super soldiers at this point and the mind-controlled people. But anyhow.
It was quite funny. You just imagine this cartoon, you know, and that super soldier family program I was talking about before. You know, how in The Simpsons the family's all out of control and it's the mother who's always running around, stressing out, sussing everybody out, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It'd be like a Woody Allen movie.
It would. I mean, I think somebody someday should do a documentary about all of us. I think they'd find it fascinating, but maybe they're the only ones. I don't know. So I don't know how much time we have left, but James, did you have anything you needed to say before you check out on us here?
No, I'm just listening. I'm getting kind of drowsy here. Yeah, it's getting late, but I just want to thank you, Lori, and thank you, Vinny, for allowing to use your venue here to spread the message of a very important message that people need to know that this does go on. And, you know, we need to work together, unify, to bring about to educate people so that the younger generation and people, you know, looking forward in the future won't have to go through what we had to go through. And that's why I do what I do, because I don't want other people to go through it.
Oh, James, you know what? We didn't even mention your blog site. You've got to tell people about it, because, you know, folks, this is the most amazing blog site. There's a lot of interesting things on there. And what I tell everybody is that it is take it with a grain of salt. You know, you don't have to believe everything. And if you want to believe it, you can. If you want to believe just a 1% of it, you can too. But you'll learn something there about the people that James interviews, especially on supersoldiertalk.com.
Correct, James? Yeah, supersoldiertalk.com. And
there's some really interesting interviews. What are some recent ones that you've done?
Well, I just did one recently with Preston Nichols,
with
the Montauk Project. So, but that one hasn't been put up yet. I've also did some more another interview with Jay Essex and Barry Newkirk. Barry was allegedly Tesla in his past life, and so I was drilling him a bunch of questions and what do you think happened and all that. He doesn't have the same abilities in this life, but it's interesting nonetheless. And I actually have a connection with Barry. Apparently, in another past life that I had, I was a super soldier, incidentally, and I was programmed under heavy amounts of mind control, and I was sent off on a mission, and I went to this village where it was another planet where Barry and his family was, and I exterminated his family. But I think he forgives me because I was under mind control and I didn't really have a choice in the matter. But anyhow, it's just a little interesting story there.
You know, it's always fascinating to me about past life regression. I always find that extremely intriguing. Anyhow, I find some of your interviews on there really cool. And I hate to say it, a few of them I'm not quite sure about the people you're interviewing, but heck, you know, they are intriguing and interesting, and never a dull moment on supersoldiertalk.com. I tell everybody to go there whenever they can if they want to find out more about what you've been up to lately. So,
There's another one. Yeah, there's another one I did. I went to Orlando to investigate the HG6 facility, which is where Heather Anderson of course, the Heather material, which was put on Project Camelot. That's allegedly where the facility where she was stationed, and there's a bunch of – I mean, even above ground, there's a VA hospital, and there's a prison. Might actually be in a military prison. Well, I'm not sure about that. Okay. But there was basically there was a Baptist church there. The whole area the base itself is about 1 mile – of course, it's underground base – 1 mile wide about that in a circle – let's see here, like a cylinder – size shape, and the entrance, one of the entrances anyway, was this Baptist church. So here we are driving around filming, and it looks like the Stepford Wives, and we're all making jokes about going in the church to just investigate and imagine, you know, what the expressions of these Bible believers, you know, I don't even think a lot of the members of the church even realize what's going on. But
of course not. Yeah. I mean, that's just par for the course. You know, they keep people mind controlled with religion and politics like you wouldn't even believe. That's just, you know, very much par for the course. Well, that's intriguing. I'll have to definitely check that out. So,
yeah, well, yeah. I was in that one. I was interviewing Ben Murphy, who was in contact with Heather before she died. And Ben has actually got he received it. Well, there was two assassination attempts on his life within like the past 6 months. Like one time,
dear. Someone
actually shot him with a bullet, and he had a wound from that. He survived that. Then a bus almost ran him over. So apparently, it's a group because he was connected to certain. Well, I guess I probably shouldn't say in there, but
yeah, you shouldn't talk about what people's affiliations are because they'll just get him in trouble.
Yeah,
so we won't do that. Now, I didn't know that Heather of the Heather Materials had died.
Yeah, well, the story goes is that she, of course, she was a geneticist, a genetic engineer. And she didn't like, because they gave her a command to exterminate these young, because what Ben was telling me is that they were taking dead soldiers and reanimating them, and Heather was taking these reanimated bodies and augmenting them, experimenting on them, trying to enhance their psychability, their strength, and so on. And she became attached to this, they called them units, and apparently they were placed for extermination because a new technology came online where they would take titanium bones and clone human flesh over them, so they didn't need the others anymore. So Heather was just so disturbed of trying to. She actually claims that they took these bodies, and so she claims that Merck, the pharmaceutical company Merck, would extract the omega-3 from these bodies and put them in their vitamins and sell it to the unsuspecting consumers.
Oh, okay, now I find that all a little far-fetched, but that's me. I'm always listening to you guys and going, okay. But the whole thing about her being a geneticist, I had heard about a woman that actually was a geneticist that was telling some very interesting tall tales like this. I don't know if her name was Heather, but she did claim that at some point they were working with trying to reanimate dead soldiers and use their brain potential, very similar to the movie called 7 Minutes or 7 Seconds, where the guy, they were in his brain getting him to go analyze a crime scene. And he didn't realize that he was only – all that was left of his body pretty much was his brain working. And this is the type of thing that I –
a movie called Source Code.
Source Code. Okay. I couldn't remember the name of it, and thank you for that, Vinny. But it basically that they were going into these guys' brains and reanimating them, as you say, but very shortly after death, within minutes, not any length of time. And using that brain to try to see the world through their eyes, or try to see if they can actually use the brain to interface with other brains. So, you know, I thought that was all intriguing, and I hadn't heard any more about her. She was pretty well underground, and it was a group of ex, and I can't even say where they're from because I don't think I'm allowed to. But let's just put it this way. They know what they're talking about, and these guys don't lie to me. So, and if they tell me that this was happening, you know, like 8 years ago, I think is when they told me it was going on, around 2001, 2002. That's not 8 years ago. That's quite a bit longer. It's about 11 years ago now. But, yeah. So apparently they have been experimenting, and especially through groups at not Fort Detrick anymore, but other places that are underground bases that are positioned usually not within the United States boundaries. They're usually in other countries now. So I don't know if you've heard any of this, Vinny, but you know, I've been hearing some very disturbing stories from people that are in the know. So anyhow.
Sorry.
Okay.
Not something I'm overly familiar with at this point.
Yeah, no, just some very wild stuff going on genetically. You know, ever since they cracked the DNA and the genome project and all that, things have gotten very wild. And, you know, the cloning bit, James, you talk about that quite often. I'm starting to believe that that's really going on because more and more people are talking to me about it that are in the know, as they say. And I'm really seriously starting to consider it, whereas, you know, 6 months ago, I would have said, oh, this whole cloning thing is just, you know, big farce. But now I'm beginning to really wonder. So, anyhow. I don't know how much time we have left on the show.
You can end it any time you want.
Oh, okay. Well, James, do you want to say goodnight to everybody?
Yeah, but before I do, also, please visit my website, neologicaltech.com. To learn about meditation and how that can assist you. That's kind of like my other little modality that I do, because not only I try to focus on educating people about the super social stuff, I try to offer a venue for people to integrate as well.
And I must say it does work. I have my NeoCube on my desk and I meditate every day with it, and I do feel like I'm getting some very good positive vibes out of my NeoCube. And in my story in the first hour of the show tonight, I was telling everybody about how I met James and he was meditating with Bill Ryan over a NeoCube at the Awaken Aware conference, where my whole life changed. And maybe the NeoCube was the problem, James. Or maybe the solution. I don't know. But it all started that weekend with the NeoCubes and you and Max and Duncan and Aaron and the whole gang of you. So,
yeah. Well, the Neo device, while using it, what it does, it helps. It opens up an interdimensional portal, because everything that you can think of already exists in other timelines and dimensions and parallel realities. So all you have to do is just step into that, and the way you do that is through meditation. You have to you can open it up, of course, with your own pineal gland. You have crystals in that, because crystals are the key for opening up interdimensional portals, and the crystals in the cube can also do that as well. So it just enhances that ability to manifest or attract to you what it is you desire, or what gives you excitement in life. So it's a great tool. Of course, the ultimate goal of meditation is to help you relax, increase
use it to get
creativity. Yeah, you could.
Yeah. How about guys? I need a guy.
Yeah.
I haven't used it for that yet, James. I'll get you both a report on that at some point, okay?
I was talking with Dr. Victor H. Fisher, and he says that a woman can control a man. And I go, how's that, doctor? And he goes, well, she controls sex.
Ah, there you go. There you go. That's the answer to the universe right there.
I just made everything really uncomfortable just then, didn't I?
Well, you bring up sex and everybody kind of goes, huh? You know? It's one of those subjects that nobody wants to talk about, but everybody wants to have.
Oh,
let me tell you. You know? It's like, okay. Oh, anyhow. Well, Vinny, thanks for having us on tonight. It was wonderful. And I just want to leave everybody with these final thoughts. You know, I may be crazy. This all may not be true, but I am a pretty grounded person. And I got to tell you, things have really rocked and rolled for me for the last 2.5-3 years. And when you're 53, when this kind of thing starts happening to you, it makes you really question that it's got to be something going on. There has to be something going on, because I spent my whole life working, you know, I was an administrative director for a very large nonprofit in California. I've done work for Salesforce.com. I've done work for, I've been entrenched in the real world. And for this to happen to me, and for me even to be on this radio show 2.5-3 years later, talking about what has transpired for me, it's just, it's mind-boggling that it's even happening. So if it could happen to me, folks, it could happen to you too. Like tomorrow, you can wake up and go, all of a sudden, your mind is expanded to the point where you know all of this is real and you're just going, oh my God. So I do hope that I'm waking you up in some way, shape, or form, You know, it's all I can hope for, and let you know that for me, it's real. It's as real as the table I'm knocking on right now. And boy, I hope that everybody out there realizes that we have a battle on our hands, and it is truly for your soul. It's against the evil that runs this world, and the real key to it all in the end, which I didn't even get to tonight, is that love and love of everybody around you and love of the universe is truly going to be the answer to our salvation. And maybe on another show at another time, we'll get into all that. But that's it for me. So.
Yeah, that was a lot better than an awkward sexual reference. Thank you. Right.
Well, thank you, Vinny. I really appreciate it. And James, thanks for coming on with me tonight. I really love it. Yeah, so thank you.
Right.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much as well to you for listening to this little super soldier discussion-y thingy. What exactly do you call it? Who cares what you call it? It is what it is. And this is a listener-supported broadcast as well. So for broadcasts like this, where these people are able to come on and tell in the fullness their stories on a long-form interview format, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and start up a wee automatic payment, perhaps, because I'm always consistently getting on really amazing people who talk about some really amazing Shiite Muslim. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime, folks.
You are only exception. You are only exception. You.